us open us up with prayer, and then we'll jump into life groups number two. So, God, we just thank you for this week. God, we thank you for another week to come. God, to gather together, to learn from you. And Lord, I just pray that you would teach us, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal things to us today. Reveal things about ourselves, God, about our character, that maybe you want to work on or correct. Encourage us, God. I pray everyone here who maybe doubts that they can lead a life group or that's something that they're able to do, I pray today, God, that you, God, would open their eyes to see that you have given them all that they need to do this, God, and that you have equipped them and empowered them to lead. And Lord, we just pray for this time in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I wanted to open up, so we're talking about leading a life group and starting with qualifications for leading. Well, I was just, qualifications for leading. I always like to start off when I teach this lesson on a girl I know. When I was in India, her name is Chanpi, at least that's what we called her, because she had a very difficult to pronounce name. For even most Indians, so she said, oh, you can call me Chanpi, and even that we mispronounced, which she would later tell us, and we're like, oh gosh. So, but Chanpi is from a part of India, it's called the Northeast, and it borders Myanmar, yeah. It's kind of like India is like, what we think of India is like this part, and then it gets really small around Bangladesh, and then it kind of comes back out, and that's like it borders China, Myanmar, Bangladesh, and that's called the Northeast, and so there's seven states in that area, and it's a very different culturally than the rest of India. They're more tribal people. They look different. Christian missionaries were actually really successful in that part of India. So it's mostly Christian. It's majority, most of the states are majority Christian, not all of them. So it's just culturally different. Everything's different. And the people there are a little bit, more quiet and reserved. Yeah, reserved is that's the word I was trying to think of. They're reserved. Especially when they come to what they call mainland India, where they're a minority. And so they're all, but we had a lot in our church. But then we had Chanpi, who she took this to a whole new level. She was the quietest, most reserved person I'd ever met. Like, she would come to, Barry would lead prayer meetings. And she would come, and Barry would, you know, ask her, you know, will you pray? And she would just start crying. Because she was so scared to pray out loud. I mean, anything like that. Like, she was great one-on-one. I would sit down with her, and she'd talk to me. But if you got more than three people, and you asked her, like, oh, Chumpy, will you share? She'd just start crying, because she's so timid. But the thing is, Chanpi had the biggest heart in the world. She loved people, she loved God, and she had a heart to reach her friends. And she had a heart to start a life group. So she was equipped, empowered, and she started a life group. And we were all like, how is she, you know, like she cries if she has to talk to three people. But she started a life group. She found people. She stayed in a dormitory, a girls' hostel. So she found some people in her hostel that wanted to be part of her life group, and she started meeting with them. And it was a small group of girls, and we were all like, I wonder what that's like. Like, how's it going? But then we would talk to the people who were in her life group, and they just had only good things to say about her. Like, she doesn't say much, but whatever she says is so deep. And they just all, like, adored her and loved her and said, she's the best life group leader. And so, and I always think about that. I think, okay, whatever you think disqualifies you from being a life group leader. Maybe you think, I'm too shy, I'm too busy, I don't know enough people, whatever it is, I don't have the qualifications to be a life group leader. If Chanpi can do it and do it well, like she had a great life group, then I guarantee everyone in this room can lead a life group. So leading or co-leading a life group is not about age, marital status, culture, education, or personality. Any follower of Christ is qualified to lead or co-lead a life group if they desire to reach others with the gospel, have a hunger for God's word and prayer, are willing to give their time and energy to regularly meeting with others, and to set a godly example through their lifestyle to the people they will be serving. So sometimes when we think of who can lead a life group, we think of, it needs to be someone who's really outgoing or a good Bible teacher. But these are the qualifications. It's about your heart. Do you love God? Are you serving God? Do you love others? Do you have a heart to reach others? And if that's you, and if you're in this class, I imagine it is all of you, then you can all lead a life group. And our hope is that you all will lead a life group by the end of this. So there are leadership qualities that are important to develop as a life group leader or co-leader. Successful leaders and co-leaders are people who, number one, submit to authority. And this can be a little, that word submit can be a little scary for some. But this just means that you're a person, when you are leading a life group, you're not a pastor of a church, right? But you're understanding that your life group is under the authority of the pastoral leadership of this church. And so your life group is an extension of our church. And as such, there's ways that in your life group you can show that, you are submitted to authority just by showing respect and honor, that you never speak ill of pastors, that you show them honor. And I think there's other ways is, sometimes we do things as a church in our life groups and just saying, I recognize that I'm part of this church. I'm not this isolated entity, my life group. So sometimes when life groups do church-wide, the church will say, sometimes in the new year, we'll say, let's all the life groups do prayer and fasting together. Or sometimes they'll say, we have a really important sermon series and we want all the life groups to go through the same material together. Now, I don't think they ever make that mandatory. But I think one way of saying, I'm submitted to the leadership of this church, when they say something like that, as life group leaders, we should be the first ones to say, if Pastor James believes this is what our church needs to hear right now, then I want to be the first person to be on board with that and to do that. And it's hard sometimes because sometimes you've got you're going in a direction in your life group and to put a pause on that, but it's so important that we follow the leadership of the church in our life groups. You guys have any questions about that? Have you guys been a part of a life group where they've done the material from the sermons? You have? Which one was that?
With Marvin Brown.
Yeah, they did.
Do the material, whatever was taught.
Yeah, so if you didn't know, if you are wanting to start a life group and you're like, I don't really know how to start or what to do, I believe they still do it. I know Pastor Bruce was doing it. I'm not sure. They still do it? Okay, so every Sunday night, life group material is posted online and it's based on Sunday's message. So right now someone is probably busy from the message Pastor James just preached. Someone is busy coming together and typing up life group material. So if you're wanting to start a life group and you're like, I don't really know, should we go through a book? Should we do this? That's a great way to start and just say, this amazing life group material is already provided for me. And whatever, Pastor James believes our church needs to be hearing, you're just discussing that in your life group. So I always think that's a great way to start. And we can get you the link to that. And it's great material.
Mm-hmm. I also want to say, it's also on the app, too, when you go to
it. Is it? Look at you.
It's pretty good access. At least last time, I'm pretty sure it's still there. Yeah.
That is great.
If you go on to the messages and stuff like that, it'll have the notes with that, too. Yes.
That's awesome. I love this new app.
So it's pretty. Yeah, it's pretty convenient.
Yeah. Do you use that for your life group?
I'm We're not doing that in my life group. I just know about it.
Okay. Do you lead a life group?
I don't lead a life group.
Okay. Whose life group are you in?
Well, I'm kind of in two, but but I'm in Seneca's.
Okay. Awesome.
Christians.
Okay. Those are two great. Seneca, though, whenever we do the life group fair, she's always got the best booth. I'm like, no one can compete with Seneca. I'm like, I want to join your life group. It's so awesome. That's great. Okay, so another quality that's important to develop is that you're faithful in the little. When I was in high school and I was in a life group, it was my youth pastor's wife led a life group with some of us, and she was wanting to train me up to take over the life group. And so, but one of the first things she said, because it was like the first life group that I was going to lead, and she was still going to be there, but she was letting me lead. And I showed up, and it was, of course, the week that nobody else comes, which if you're a life group leader, you've all experienced that, where just nobody shows up. And she could see, okay, this is her first opportunity to lead, and nobody shows up. And she didn't want me to get discouraged, and she said this to me. She said, Jessica, one of the most important things about leading is just showing up. And that has stuck with me since I was probably 17. I think I was 17 at the time. That, God, if you've called me to lead and I want to lead, I just have to show up. You know, just faithfully, week after week after week, showing up in people's lives, showing up at Starbucks or at my house and seeing, you know, God's going to bring people. God's going to bring people into your life that you can lead. It's just that faithfulness of week after week, month after month, showing up and being present for people. Another important quality is just keep your word. Be truthful. It shows that you care, right? Like when you say, I'm going to call you tomorrow, and you actually call that person tomorrow. It speaks so much more than we could ever realize. And of course, we all have that situation every once in a while where we don't come through, but we all have those people in our life who are like, don't come through for us over and over again and say, I'm going to do this, and they don't do it. And you just, at some point, you just stop trusting them. And you just know that person, whether or not they care, they don't know how to show it, and we don't want to be that for people. We want to show people that you can depend on us. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to let you down. We're going to fail you, but we're at least going to try to be consistent in that. Another one is to have a servant's heart, which I think most of you guys do. I saw several of you all serving at the early service, so I know you guys, if you're here, you already have a servant's heart. I'm seeing some new people walk in. What's your name? I didn't meet you last week.
Cooley.
Cooley? I'm Jessica. Nice to meet you. We're talking about life groups. Where were we? Okay, walk in wisdom is another quality, that you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk more about this later, but that's super important in leading a life group. It's good to have a plan. It's good to be structured. It's good to be prepared. That's like my pet peeve when I'm in a life group and the life group leader's never prepared, because I probably over-prepare for mine. So that's a pet peeve for me. So it's important to be prepared. But it's also, we can't be so rigid that we're not letting the Holy Spirit lead us in our life group. Have compassion for and on others. I think that's another one. I know I'm going to try not to like expose people, but there's this one person I know, and this person was leading a life group with a lot of people who just are those like flaky people who don't show up every week. And this person is incredibly disciplined, like the most disciplined person you've ever met. And they could not, It's almost like they can only lead a life group with people who are as disciplined and committed as they are. Which is, you know, that's good, but it's also, it's sometimes you just have to be able to have compassion and realize that people aren't like you. They may not be where you're at, and maybe they do need to grow up, and maybe they do need to learn some discipline, and God's allowed you to be that person to help them. And that's not a fun job to be in. It's not fun to have to be the person to help someone grow up. But we have to, that's what we have to just be patient with people, show them compassion, and just be gracious when, you know, I led life groups with college students. United Campus Ministry for 6 years. Jade and her husband Marcus were the exception. They were godsends. They were the most responsible college students you will ever meet. They were consistent, showed up. But like everybody else in my life group was not like that. So one time, my friend who was also a campus minister, she said, you know, we're at that point we were getting in our late 20s, and you just feel like, gosh, it really is hard on your self-esteem that all these 18-year-old girls keep standing you up. You know, it's I'm a full-fledged adult by this point, and I'm chasing down 18-year-old girls all the time. So I'm very familiar with the okay, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be here. And I'm going to have the Jades who are there week after week, thank God. But then there's going to be a lot of other people who aren't. But that's where it helped me to grow in compassion and patience and love, and just to continue to pursue people when they're sometimes literally running away from me. So that's another one. Boldly reach out and invite others in. And one way, you know, we had, there's the life group that Barry, the couples life group that Barry and I are in. About this time last year, Pastor James called us over after church and introduced us to a couple and said they're brand new here. They just moved to Nashville. Will you guys connect with them? And so we were really busy. We're we don't have a ton of time, but we go to life group every week. Come to life group with us. And so they did, and we were talking about it. We went to the movies. Some girls went to the movies last night, and she was there, and we were talking about it. That was about a year ago. And they've been in that life group ever since. And that was just someone we met at church. And so you may not even know, you know, you can feel like, there's no one to be in my life group. There are so many people every single Sunday morning who need to be in a life group, who want to be in a life group, who want to get connected. But they don't know how, or they're maybe not willing to take that first step. But if you just keep your eyes open and you know where you sit every Sunday, people are creatures of habit. They usually sit in the same place. So you know when there's a new person. So just keep your eyes open. Look for those new people. Connect with them. Invite them. Because they may not come, but most of them are going to be like this couple that we met last year, and they're going to be hungry. They're more faithful in this life group now than we are. You know, they're there every single week because they're hungry for community. So just keep your eyes open for people. Then have knowledge of the word and consistently demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Does anyone have questions about that? I'm trying to go kind of quickly through this because I want to do a little exercise at the end if we have time. Healthy leadership habits. So we talked about, these are just other areas. Of course, you don't need these things, you know, when you first start, but as you're leading a life group, you need to grow as a leader. You need to develop yourself. So here's some healthy leadership habits. As leaders, it is important to make sure that you have a consistent prayer and devotional life. That's super important, because as you're pouring out, you're going to find how much more. You realize, you know, you're giving so much. You need to make sure you're having that time where you're allowing God to fill you back up, having time in prayer, having time in God's Word, that you're growing. Pastor Steve Merle, who's the president of Every Nation, which is the ministry that Bethel's part of, the broader ministry that they're a part of, when he was a missionary in the Philippines for many decades. And when he first went there, and he went there on a missions trip, but there was so much fruit from this missions trip, he and his wife ended up staying and starting a church there. But there was so much fruit, like people, college students just were getting saved and saved and saved, and I didn't have anyone to disciple these people. So what they do is, okay, say we have on Monday night, they would have a big crusade on campus on Monday night, a bunch of people would get saved, they'd start discipling them, say, okay, start reading the book of Mark. And then on Thursday night, they'd have another crusade. A bunch of other people get saved. And they said, okay, this person who got saved on Monday night, you're now discipling this person who got saved on Thursday night. And just stay as long as you're one chapter ahead in the book of Mark. You're discipling them. Now, if this person reads Mark faster than you and they get one chapter ahead, then it switches. So that's what they say. Just stay one chapter ahead. And that's what with life group leaders, we're not expecting you to be Bible scholars, but that you're continuously learning and growing, and that you're one chapter ahead of the people in your life group. And to do that, that means you have to say, okay, I have to give of myself. I have to make time where every day I'm learning, I'm growing, and I'm allowing God to speak to me. Have a balanced family life, which is super important. Take time to rest and do things you enjoy. You don't want to experience burnout. That you're walking in accountability and discipleship with other believers. This is super important if you're leading a life group. I encourage you, if you're leading a life group, also to be a part of a life group. Make sure that you have people that are pouring into you and ministering to you and keeping you accountable, at least that you have one person that you can talk to and that they're asking you those hard questions, like, how are you really doing? And you feel like you can actually open up to them. So you need to make sure you have that. You're developing and empowering new leaders and co-leaders. So that's also something when you're leading a life group. So how do you guys think you can empower new leaders? We talked about this a little bit last week. When you are, so you're leading a life group, how can you empower other people in your life group to lead?
To start giving them some responsibilities. I mean, very short things, very small things.
What kind of responsibilities could you give them?
I don't know, maybe, hey, you are going to be responsible just for texting people, remember that we have the group meeting, blah, or just, like, hey, can you help me to get all the phone numbers, for example, or, to be updated, or, I mean, something very simple, or just, I don't know, this is one of the things that I have been...
That you do? Awesome.
Yeah, for others as well.
That's great.
And it's very fun when you feel part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes you feel part of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Jessica, she's doing everything, so I'm just like relaxed. But if you ask me to do something, I am kind of like involved.
Yeah. Good. That's a great example. So, simple administrative task. Does anyone else have any other ideas of how you can empower people in your group? Sorry?
Prayer.
What would that look like? Give me some examples.
Like if somebody in the group has a problem, we have a team of people at prayer.
That's great. So not just in the life group, but having a prayer team. That's great. Where you at least if you know someone is a gifted intercessor, we make sure this person always has the prayer request, and we know they're going to pray for our group every single day, and it may be multiple people. That's a great example. Any other ideas?
We allow the girls to pray, so same thing. We the love of those who pray for one another.
So in the life group, like you split up and have them pray, or do they all pray?
They like being together. So somebody would say they had a problem at school or whatever, and then they would pray for themselves, and we'll just come in when we think, maybe they're not praying exactly, or not the word, and then we'll enter.
That's great, especially when you're leading younger people.
Just to empower them so that they feel that their prayers are being answered. Mm-hmm. Like one example, we prayed for a girl who was being bullied at a boys and girls club. So we kept praying right through the week. And then because her friends prayed, she felt empowered and good about herself. And then she came back and said there was no bullying that week.
Wow. So and the girls who prayed, too, also felt like, wow, God answered our prayer. That's so great. Barry, you have.
So I've noticed that there's a pattern of like, you get certain times I'll have a life group and there's kind of a verbal processor that 80%, if I were to break down the percentages of people talking, they took 80% of the time. I'm the leader. Like, I don't even know, and the other 5% or 15% or whatever, that to everybody else in the group. So one of the things I've tried to do is make that verbal processor, if there's a scripture to read, I'm like, hey, will you read the scripture? I'll have them do certain things so that they have more voice than someone who doesn't care to. But then I can hopefully turn off the faucet and turn on faucets of other people that are, through questions and whatnot. But
that's very smart.
The biggest challenge for me is how do I handle the...
We're going to touch on that a little bit. No, it's great because you have better strategies than I do.
Yeah, I'm still working. I'm open to ideas.
I know, that's what I say. When I teach that part, I'm like, if you have ideas how to deal with the oversharers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So, but Barry said, I'm just repeating it for people online. So Barry said we can have people read scripture, which is great. That's especially, that's a great way. That also helps people feel involved and not tune you out. It's just helps them to be active.
Instead of being in a lecture.
Yeah. Yes.
Holding other people accountable. I think that kind of goes back into what y'all was talking about. But I think it was another one you said last week was having refreshments.
Yes, good. Food, yeah. Yeah, having, if you have someone like me in your life group, I'm just looking for opportunities to bake because Barry and I do not need to eat all the food I want to bake because it's just so I'm always okay, I'm going to life group, I'm going to bake something. You don't even have to ask me. So if you have someone like that in your life group, get them to bless, it'll bless them as they bless you. So it's also, use discernment. Don't ask the person who doesn't like to bake, has six kids and no time to bake, use some discernment, but that's a great way if someone wants to bless you or maybe they work somewhere where they get free pastries at the end of the day, utilize it. Amen. We got one more idea how we can empower people. Someone who hasn't spoken. Yeah.
I'm going to the head of outreach programs.
Great. Yeah. Say we want to do at least 2 outreach activities a year, and there's someone who's really gifted at that, ask them. That's a great idea. I would say the only thing, you guys came up with great ideas. I didn't even think of all these things. But the other thing I would think is if someone is gifted in communicating, or you say you see them and you think this person needs to be leading a life group, just train them up and say, okay, next week you're going to lead. And, give them some simple training. You can even have them come to the start one class, but just start training them up and say, you don't need to lead every week. You can let the other people in your life group take turns leading, especially if there's several people who are capable of that. And all of these things that we've shared, all of these ways that we can share the load, that all helps prevent leader burnout. You know, where you're not feeling like you have to carry everything. It helps you have a good balance in your life, to still have time for your family, your friends, for your devotional life, because you're not carrying it all on your own. So now we're going to get to, realize that it's not about being perfect, just available. And that's what we talked about with the just stay one chapter ahead, just show up. You know, these are the principles. You're not going to be perfect. But people aren't really looking for perfect, are they? They're just looking for available. They just want someone available, consistent, who's going to consistently be there and lead them to God's word and his presence. So, okay, we're going to quickly go through challenges. Challenges in a life group, which Barry touched on. Personality types. So Barry mentioned one, the person who likes to share a lot, the talker. I won't ask that. I was going to ask, is anyone here? So there's that person. What are some other personality types that can be, not challenging, but just, challenging as you're leading?
Bob Wiley's.
Bob Wiley's? Like, what about Bob? Have you guys seen that movie?
Yes.
Yeah. He's like an incredibly needy person. So like the really...
Who kind of makes it about themselves.
Oh, yeah. He's looking for therapy.
Yeah. Or is way too tells a little too much for a group setting.
That's a better way of putting it.
If you ever watch What About Bob? Yeah. I heard it's one of the best pastoral movies to understand pastoring. So.
Yeah. Because we all have a Bob.
God.
You should watch it. It's an old movie. It's from like the mid-90s, but it's a great one. The person who maybe, there's just some people who come and they have maybe more needs than that life group can fill. You know, maybe they need counseling or therapy, but they're trying to get your life group to do that for them. So that is definitely a challenge. What are some other personalities that can show up in your life group? So we talked about the person who talks too much. What about
the person who doesn't talk at all?
Person who doesn't talk at all. Has anyone ever had a life group like that?
Yeah.
Yes. I have too. I think I was a freshman in college and I was leading a life group for some rush girls. And I still know all three of them. I won't mention their names. They all still go to Bethel. And they would not talk. They would not talk to me. I was just like, I don't know what to do. So, yeah, I had to learn to be a really good, ask questions that were not yes or no answers. And asking questions that got them to tell stories and that they'd be comfortable with. Because you just have to draw people like that out and ask just really good questions and kind of be comfortable, but with being with awkward silence for a little bit. Okay, so those are some of them. Every life group will have a variety of personality types. Empower those who are quieter by asking for their input and affirming what they say. So, you know, it's one thing when you have a life group where everyone's quiet, but then sometimes you have a life group where you have someone who talks a lot and then just like one person who's just shy and they're never going to assert themselves or insert themselves in the conversation. So those people, it's like they want to talk, but they maybe don't feel comfortable to. So one way is just, you know, asking Charity, what do you think about that? What we said. So I've had a life group like that where everyone was pretty chatty except for one girl. And so I would just always make sure at least once in the life group, because she didn't really want to share a lot, but I'm like, we need to make sure we at least hear from her once. And I would make sure to be like, you know, we've all shared. What do you think about that? Of course, don't do that their first week there, but after you get to know them. Help guide those who are more talkative by affirming what they say and then giving the opportunity for another to speak up. So Barry talked about that with the person who talks a lot, some strategies. You know, say, that was great. That was really good, Barry. Charity, do you have thoughts on what Barry said? And so it's a way of affirming Barry and what he shared, but also like making, opening it up to other people. Yes, Barry?
Another thing is, like, for the person that talks too long, I've noticed that if I say, okay, give me 30 seconds about this, give me 30 seconds of your thought, and just kind of time it. They'll always run over, but at least
they have a
group accountability there.
Yeah. And when you know someone, and when you know them really well and have that kind of relationship, that becomes easier. And probably guys, it's a little, it can be a little bit more. I feel like if some girls, if you said that to them, they may never come back. So, you have to make sure you have that relationship with them. Pastor Carol always says, because she talks about this, she's the master of this. So she says, you know, if you have like a talker, Barry's going to be my talker. So you sit next to them in life group, because if you're always making eye contact with them, that's like, oh gosh, for a talker, you're giving me eye contact, they're just going to keep going. So you don't really give them eye contact, and then you can also like close enough where you can, you know, be like, that is so good, Barry. Charity, what do you have to say about that? And you can... So that's
pretty smooth.
Yeah, I know. That's Pastor. I can't do it. Pastor Carol, she's like a ninja.
That's black belt level.
Yeah, black belt level.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So as the leader, this is not the time for you to use your teaching gift and not allow for group discussion. So that's another. So that's, I guess, your own personality type. So maybe you're the person who likes to share too much, or you want to have this opportunity to teach and just learn that that's not what life group is for. Life group, you're going to learn, but that's not the main purpose. We have Bible classes. We have other things. We have BSD. We have BLI Sunday morning for teaching. Life group's more about application, and so we need to make sure that most of the time, even though we're going over scripture, but that we're asking lots of good questions, and that we're keeping people involved, and that we're not the one doing most of the talking. So another word we're on, challenges. So first challenge, personality type. Another challenge is leader burnout, which we already touched on. Another one is awkward gaps of silence, which, as I said, I experienced many times. So don't feel intimidated by moments of silence. Sometimes I've learned that I just have to give people a second. If you're someone who feels uncomfortable with silence, you're going to fill in the gap when maybe the Holy Spirit is working on someone's heart. And they need a few seconds to let that word sink into their heart. And so you just need to give people a few seconds before someone's willing to speak up. And then sometimes I've learned I've just asked the question really poorly. And I need to reword the question. So kind of figure out what it is for you. Give it, you know, don't like let it be 45 seconds of silence. But it is okay to give, you know, just ask a question. Well, let things be silent for 10, 15 seconds. Let the Holy Spirit work. And if people are just looking at you real confused, you can rephrase the question. But that's one way to deal with awkward gaps of silence. The life group becomes ingrown. That's another challenge, which we talked about a lot last week, when there's no outreach. When it just becomes, some terms for that are holy huddle, a Christian clique, where it's just a place for us to get together and hang out and kind of escape from the world. And instead of us, you know, it needs to be a place where we're learning, we're growing, we're connecting with one another. But remember, the goal of a life group is to connect with God, connect with others, and connect with the world. So we need to make sure that our life group doesn't become ingrown. And so you may want to take time as a group to pray for unsaved friends and family and for opportunities to invite them. Consistently encourage your life group to reach out to new people and invite unsaved friends. And make sure your life group's a place that's going to be a welcoming place. When those friends and family show up, that people won't feel uncomfortable. And also, maybe you need to plan outreaches as a group. Another challenge is sporadic attendance. Has anyone ever had? Yeah. Barry, do you have a story? I feel like.
Well, this last week I had like a bunch of people back out.
Yeah. Yeah, your life group, it's like how many people when they're all there?
Like seven.
Seven. But you had two people, including yourself. Yeah. So that's just, but at least you had that. Marcus, you've never had a problem with sporadic attendance.
It'd be like five people 1 week, and then next week it'd be like me and somebody else.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, especially if you're doing it with college students, it's like all of a sudden midterms hit and nobody shows up. Or it's super sporadic. But some ways to overcome that: designate a clear start and finish time. And do your best to stick to it. So especially if you're having a life group with busy people, with college students, they're not as busy as they think they are. You know, they're about to have a wake-up call. But they are, you know, they are studying. They've got a lot of commitments. And so it's important that you say, okay, we're meeting in the library for an hour. And they know when Jessica says that, it's going to be an hour. It's not going to be 2 hours when I have an exam tomorrow and I need to study. So same with anyone. We want to make sure it's just they know. And your life group doesn't have to be an hour. It can be an hour and a half. I would encourage you not to go beyond an hour and a half. But whatever it is, have a clear beginning and end time and stick to it, because that just helps people know. Some people, it won't matter to them. You know, they're just their personality, or even some cultures, that's not as big of a deal. But for other people, it really will matter a lot. So we want to just honor that. And if just you want your life group, if you want more consistent attendance, that's one way, is just have a consistent beginning and end time. Not ending on time or leaving adequate time for application and prayer can lead people to becoming discouraged, or you losing credibility as a leader. Follow up with those who didn't show up to your life group. There's just going to be times where maybe someone in your life group, maybe they're going through a really difficult time and you don't know about it. Maybe they're going through something with their family or even in their own faith. And so actually just taking the time as the leader to personally follow up with them. And just maybe they're not able to come to life group right now because something they're going through. But it would mean so much if you say, hey, I know you can't come to life group, but can we at least get coffee? You want to come over and I'll make you dinner. And just staying connected with that person, following up with them. And then whatever they're going through, you know, whatever is causing them to not be at life group, if you show that level of care and follow-up and consistency, I guarantee they'll be back in your life group whenever they're able to. So that's one thing. Another person, when a person consistently misses life group, offer to meet up outside of the life group to see how they're really doing. That's what we said. Ask the group what they're interested in studying and allow them to help pick the curriculum. This is really helpful. If you are in something where you're doing a book, you know, you're asking people a lot of times to spend money, to invest time in reading this book. So it's really great when you can let that be collaborative and say, you know, what book would you guys like to read next? Now, if you're doing the weekly sermon notes, that's different. I think those are so great. I don't think anyone would feel like, oh, I don't want to do those. But if you're studying a book of the Bible, going through a book of the Bible, ask people. Say, okay, we just did James. Is there a book you guys would like to do next? And it just helps with buy-in when people are excited, or at least they know they helped pick it, so they're going to feel bad if they don't do the reading. That also helps with doing, if you do have a book, let them, you know, speak into that, because then they'll actually do the reading. because if you've picked a book and they're not excited about it, they're going to be a lot less likely to read. Okay, straying from the topic, that's another challenge. As a leader, you are responsible for steering the course of the conversation. Your primary focus should be the Word of God, not conducting long counseling sessions week after week. So that's, as a leader, that's your own discipline to bring it back to the topic. And then being too rigid, leave room for the leading of the Holy Spirit, who brings life and lasting change.
It would be like a strategy that you use when people go astray. I mean, it's very discouraging for all of us in a group where somebody, oh my God, we are talking about letter A and he goes to letter C and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And so, oh my God, what do you do?
Yeah, well, what would be the situation? Are they just like, they still talking about the Bible, or have they gone to like a completely different?
They go, yes.
Like maybe talking about their life because they need to like vent about something.
It's fine. Yeah. As long as they keep into the, you know, what we are reading about,
mm-hmm.
something relevant to the topic. But they start, you know, quoting Bible and saying like you know this and this.
Yeah.
The pastor there says that blah 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 in the book that oh my gosh.
I have some ideas, but Barry, do you have ideas about that?
I'll go back to one thing is setting up questions well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can say okay to the group, what's one word that you get out of this, or give me your one thought on this subject.
Mm.
And you're kind of helping, you're guiding, but you're also giving a parameter. That's one way, I think, to kind of help. I think sometimes...
It's really good.
I've had people that have, like, gone off on people in the group. And
like political things.
Went political on something and just, like, viciously. You know, you're just like... About a year ago, I had a guy, and I was like, okay, I know what he said was wrong, but you can't expect that way of dealing with the situation was any better than what he did. You just kind of, you know, poured gasoline on the situation. And so I had to confront him and kind of pull him off to the side. I said, you cannot do that, like, ever again. And I was like, I just expect more out of you. And he was apologetic and repentant. He knew, like, he had made a mistake. But I think sometimes it does require a level of confrontation of saying, hey, you know, I've noticed that, you know, if we were to break our group down from 100%, we take about 50% of the time. You know, I don't know, if I have to be, I'll be confrontational in that way. But I think if you kind of take it down a notch, I think it's through setting up the right questions, it's through... giving them softball things that you know that they kind of have to answer succinctly is the best route to go.
Yeah, I think what you said is having the right questions that aren't too broad. Like just, what, you know, we want to like focus it in. And that does help. And then when they do, you know, people are going to just go off on a tangent. And so... You just always have to, as the leader, you have to bring it back and be like, you know, I just want to bring it back to what we're going over in this question. Does anyone else have anything to say pertaining to this question? You know, and just graciously bring it back. People are going to go off on tangents, but it is your responsibility to bring it back and not just go off with them. Like, yeah, you're right. And then all of a sudden... You know, the life group's been hijacked. Yep, Barry.
Oh, one last thing I would say is just setting a vision, like at the beginning of each time you're talking,
mm-hmm.
saying this is what our group would want. You know, I know you've been in probably a lot of different groups, a lot of different levels. This is what I would like to see reflected in the group, and kind of reaffirming. And then, like, when people really do that, you affirm that more. Like, you're kind of like, this is, you know, and I feel like the more you do it, the better you get, and the more... experience you will make mistakes. I feel like that's the thing is just continually being willing to go and go at it again, learn from mistakes. Mm-hmm. So I would critique this, and I think doing assessments at the end of, how grading yourself helps
people. That, and also when you're thinking of helping train other people to lead a life group, that's why it's so helpful to let them do it with you there, because then you can provide them feedback. So, well, what I want to do, does anyone else, that was a great question, does anyone else have questions about dealing with challenges? Case studies, you know. I have a friend, too.
I used to go to a life where they really stick to time, and if you wanted to expand on whatever you wanted to say, they would say, okay, after 8 o'clock, it's from 6 to 8.
That's great.
So after 8 o'clock, you can, you know, and everybody knew that because, I mean, we stayed there for hours anyway, but for people who wanted to go home because they had kids as well, it was, everybody knew that, okay.
That's great.
We had a relationship. Everybody kind of knew each other as well. So
it helps when you know. Yeah.
Time, they're like,
I love that. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah, you knew each other. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's something I will normally do, because as you get to know people, you do just want to hang out with people. But I would encourage you, don't let that hangout bleed into your life group, but have the life group, you know, have fellowship, but you actually want to achieve your objective of going through the material. And next week we're going to look at like the structure of how that should look like. But then you say, okay, life group's supposed to end at 8:30. You end it, you pray. And then if it's in your home, you know, people are welcome to stay as long as you want. And communicate that as well. And say, you know, life group's over. If you need to get home to kids, or if you've got an early day, go ahead and go home. But if you want to stay, you're welcome to stay. If you're like me and you want them out too, then no, just kidding. I actually do like people to stay, but I also like to go to bed early. So, yeah. I grew up, and my dad goes to bed really early, and if we had people over, and if it was his bedtime, he'd say, it's great to have you here, and he'd go to bed. He's a quirky person, but people just got used to that, oh, he's just going to go to bed. Okay, well, what I want to do, we have these discussion questions, and I want you guys to kind of pretend like you are doing the application in a life group. So we're going to split up into groups of three. Let me just do like a count off, and if you're one, then you're going to be our life group leader, okay? So, Barry, do you want to be in this?
I would love to.
Okay. So 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. You. I'm going to skip so that it's not married people. So 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Do you guys want to, how about you guys join? You can be in this group, and you can be in this group. So we'll have 2, 3, and 2, 4 groups, right?
Yeah.
You're in this group with Jade and Charity. And what's your name? Q?
Oh, wait, we're together?
Yeah. And she's one.
Great.
Wait,
so you guys
are all ones together?
No. If you're a one, you're the leader. So you're the leader. And you guys may need to move over here a little bit. And so you're with this group.
Okay, so the one's leading.
The one, you're the life group leader. And these are the questions. I want you guys to discuss questions number 1 and 3. But life group leaders, pretend like you're leading a life group. Yeah. So questions 1 and 3 in your discussion questions. Okay, let's go ahead and... Did everybody in your group get a chance to share?
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone?
We had that 50%.
Was that you? No. Leaders, my three leaders, how did that feel?
I felt pressured.
Pressured. Well, I did kind of throw it on you, so.
If I was number one, yeah, I thought, yeah.
What made you feel pressured?
You just said number one.
That was it. One more. No, yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
Sorry. But it sounded like you did a good job.
You did a great job.
Yeah. What about you, Charity? How did it feel?
I mean, it felt fine.
Yeah. Jade, what do you want to...
She did great.
She did great. What did she do well?
Just making sure everyone spoke and had a chance to, like, read the questions.
Mm-hmm. So participation. Mm-hmm. Good. I don't want to ask, you know, I don't want to be like, what could they have done better? If you want me to.
Yes.
Do you okay?
Yes.
So if you were in their group, let's first, Jade shared what Charity did well. Can we share what our leaders did well?
Respectful of time.
Good. I don't doubt that with Marcus.
Yeah, Charity wasn't afraid of like the silence. She actually gave us time to think about the question, and we gave end result that we gave better answers.
That's really good, especially when you're put on the spot too. Not because that's when it's easy to get like nervous and not. So, what's anything that your leader could have done to make it even better?
Not knowing that she was a leader too. Facilitating a discussion.
So you think she did great?
I think she did
great. Okay. Awesome.
The guy leader was, I think he'd already done this before, so it was really easy.
Yeah.
Kind of like step into the leadership role.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, next week, be ready now, because you never know. You never know. I just want, before I pray, I want to share, too, so I was looking on, do you guys all have the New Bethel app?
Yes.
That's awesome. So there's two things. There are the sermons, it looks like all the sermons up until this series. So I don't know, for some reason last week doesn't have life group notes, but all the ones they do on the app. If you go to the sermon, like the Reach the City, so the sermon on October 6th, if you go to the very bottom, it says their life group notes. So it is on the app. And then also, if you're needing to join a life group on the app, just go to groups. And then you can search by life stage. So say, Stephen, if you're wanting to join a men's group, you just go to men's, find groups. There's not a ton of men's groups, but there's,
Jessica,
looks like five there.
What is the app? Is this the one that it says just Bethel World? This
Bethel
one?
World,
yeah, that's the old app. So this is what the new app looks like. Yeah. Yeah, if you go to the sermon, the weekly sermon, it'll have the life group notes. I was saying, I don't know why last week's does not have that, so I'm not sure, but all the previous ones do. So especially if your homework is to go observe a life group, even if you're part of a life group, maybe you want to go to one. So I'm pretty sure you can contact them even through the app. So say you want to go to Doug Waterman's contact group, and that should go to his email, and then he'll get back to you. So, and if you don't hear, just contact.
I know that they're starting a men's thing that's basically a life group.
Yes.
On Monday night, so.
Yeah, you could also be a part of the journey. Yeah.
So that, I mean, that functions as a life group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me pray real quick, because it's 12:15, or whatever time it is. Is it 1:15 by now? 12:15, yeah. God, I just thank you for this time. I pray for everyone here. Lord, I pray that as they leave, God, that you would bring them people to either join their life group or to start a life group. God, I thank you for the sphere of influence that you've given each and every one of them. Lord, I pray, God, that you would use them in their sphere of influence, God, to bring your light, your gospel, to make disciples, and to share you and your goodness to those around them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.